7:30 a.m. It's former NFL.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here at 101.3 ESPN. I want to get right to our ESPN NFL Insider, our buddy Field Yates, Rich. You see him on Mike and Mike and NFL Live, also on NFL Insiders. It's all brought to you by Wendell's Furniture in Colchester and Wendell's Vermont Bed Store. Remember, check it out, 4050 Williston Road. That's 4050 Williston Road, selling quality furniture and bedding at fantastic prices, including Vermont-made hardwood furniture. All right, let's get to our buddy Field Yates. Field, right off the bat, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a left turn here, a little bit of a loop. The college kids that are leaving early, and I know we talk a lot of pros with you, but does that bother you? Are you behind the kids? I'm behind the kids 100%. I don't think they need to risk it, but where do you stand on that, Field?
I'm behind the college kids as well, and specifically behind the idea that they have the autonomy and the freedom to make whatever decision they decide is best for them and their respective future. I would also say this, that it is possible to be behind the college kids and understand the other side of the equation as well. The desire to have players play in what could be their final college game or their final college season, etc. I don't think that one person that has a differing view from whatever your view might be needs to necessarily have it become this shouting match where there's definitively a right and wrong case. I think there are understandings on both sides. I personally believe these players should do as they so choose.
Great.
All right, Field, off to the NFL. We just spent a lot of time to start the show talking about that Giants fine and penalty, minor one really, but they didn't get hit with that huge Pat-style punishment, obviously. Do you find the punishments inconsistent, or was that disparity about right?
Inconsistent would be the kind way of putting it. Listen, I think we all know this, guys. We're at the point where it does not seem like the NFL has a rhyme or reason for what they do as it relates to punitive measures. It's almost whatever side of the bed they wake up in that week. Now, I don't want to make this Deflategate versus whatever we're going to call this walkie-talkie situation, but let's look at the other most recent thing that is in the same area code as using walkie-talkies on the sideline. I think it would be text communication from the GM in Cleveland, Ray Farmer, to the sidelines during a game for the Cleveland Browns. I believe it was 2 years ago. Well, Ray Farmer was suspended for 4 weeks. Obviously, that cost him a month of pay. The team was also fined. I believe they were stripped of a fourth-round draft pick. All of those things seem steeper than anything that the Browns dealt with, that the Giants are now dealing with. They can move a maximum of 12 slots in the draft. You could just as well switch their slot in the draft from the whatever they end up in the fourth round to 12 spots behind, and most people would never even notice the difference if you had not been notified of the punishment. The money, I get it. That's a blow to Ben McAdoo's salary, but I just don't think that these punishments are anywhere near the same, and these are two incidents that feel, at least to me, comparable.
Field Yates, our ESPN NFL insider, joining us right here on The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN. And by the way, thanks to our friends over at Wendell's Furniture. All right, Field, which team are we sleeping on as we start getting down the stretch, my friend? Who are we sleeping on that's going to squeeze into the playoffs and we're like, oh man, watch out for them. They can make a serious run at things.
Well, I would hope that no one's sleeping on the Green Bay Packers, but just because they have because they are, as of right now, the sixth spot in the NFC, or right there with Tampa Bay, those would be that would be the team that I think needs to not be slept on, that could make a deep run in the playoffs. I think we all understand this. It is a quarterback-driven league in many years. Aaron Rodgers is nearly peerless when it comes to quarterbacks that are in the same level ability-wise. It's basically him and Tom Brady and then the rest of the league, at least in terms of my evaluation. But the Packers are so good offensively and can be, and then defensively they've really tightened the clamps. Over their last four games, they have been about 11.5 points better during their first eight games of the season. I understand the quality of opponent hasn't been unbelievable, but they've done something that no other team has done since 2011, and that is beat the Seahawks by more than 10 points. I mean, they never lose huge games.
Right.
The Seahawks never lose wide margin games, and they lost by 28 points to the Green Bay Packers just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Field, what about the Michael Floyd situation? You think already the Pats might be thinking maybe this wasn't the best idea now that the video has come out and pending jail time. I mean, and yet he might play this Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say this, guys. I don't think anybody should be absolving Michael Floyd of what he did. It is a serious, serious matter, and the video is difficult to watch in some ways. And it's not his first time that he's had a run-in with the law related to operating a vehicle while intoxicated. The only question I would ask is, what were people expecting to see when they saw when you watch a DUI video? Yeah. I don't know that any DUI video is going to come across as, you know, some ad for like public awareness, right? It's the opposite. It's going to be a bad look. So I don't think the Patriots are saying to themselves, all right, we got to look at it. That dramatically impacts how we feel about our decision. They have hitched their wagon to Michael Floyd, and for their money, this is the opportunity for them to evaluate him on what happens going forward, not the other way around.
Field Yates, our NFL insider, joining us here at 101.3 ESPN. Thanks to our friends over at Wendell's Furniture. Playoff time, my friend. What do you think is going to happen? AFC South and, you know what, AFC South and NFC North. How about that? How's that going to play out?
I think the Tennessee Titans end up winning that division. I just love the way that they're playing right now in terms of clutch moments. I'm not sure exactly how you quantify clutch moment play, but I do believe that with Marcus Mariota at the helm and a running game that is just pulverizing, they've got the right ingredients on offense. And then defensively, they've got some really tough front seven defenders. Brian Arakpo and Jarrell Casey both got their invites to the Pro Bowl last night. I think that each of them can be a difference maker on defense. And then on the NFC side, I think the Lions end up getting one of these last two wins that they need.
Ooh.
It's not going to be easy. They travel to Dallas on Monday night, and then, of course, they play the Packers in Week 17. But I think they find a way. The team has just been too good and too resilient, especially in the fourth quarter of games, for me to not believe that they end up getting it done.
Field, I think it's safe to say he's nowhere near, you know, wearing out his welcome status at this point. But between his barking at his offensive coach and now getting into it with the media and honestly seemingly not playing as well on the field this year, is Richard Sherman needing to kind of pull back and keep his mouth shut at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what makes Richard Sherman so great is that he is this unique personality, and part of what allows the Seahawks to be so good is that they cultivate this culture where you can be yourself. I don't personally, I mean, I think Richard Sherman is still a terrific player in my mind. The only thing that I would ask in this case, and I know it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but, you know, Richard Sherman, in essence, whether he was being serious or not, tried to threaten the professional livelihood of a reporter. You know, I can get I can strip you of your credential. If a player, or I should say, if a reporter made a comment, even if that was tongue-in-cheek, to the effect of, hey, Richard, or hey, ex-athlete, I'm going to take out your knee, I wonder how that would be viewed. And I understand it's not apples to apples, but you guys get what I'm saying.
Yep.
So far as that there isn't really, there shouldn't be much of a tolerance for crossing a line of professional grace. And I think Richard Sherman, if he could, he'd probably take that one back, that comment from yesterday. And I think it's something that probably is best resolved, you know, with a closed-door conversation between two people involved and just hash out the differences. Because I don't think Richard Sherman did not mean that. And I don't think that that reporter, who I don't know, was going, or that radio host, was going for, you know, professional antagonism there. I just think it was one of those moments that boiled over in the heat of the moment in front of a microphone.
All right, Field, let's go ahead and get rapid fire in. Now, you mentioned the Packers, so though more scary in the playoffs, Steelers or Green Bay Packers?
I tell you what, I will go with the Green Bay Packers. I know that both of those teams are playing so well right now, but I don't know exactly how to explain this, but Ben Roethlisberger is so much better at home than he is on the road, and the Steelers are going to have to travel at least once if they make the playoffs, and that scares me more. I think that I give the edge to Aaron Rodgers just slightly over Big Ben, thus Green Bay over Pittsburgh.
How big a factor are those injuries to Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr?
I don't know that they are as much of a factor as, like, I think the Lions just did not play well offensively against the Giants. Stafford doesn't seem to want to make it an issue. And for Derek Carr, He had an awful night against Kansas City a couple of Thursdays ago where it was really cold, but he's also, since that hand injury, had multiple impressive fourth quarters. So I think that Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford, it's going to be something we're going to continually question if they don't play well. But I think if they don't play well, it's about a lot more than just their throwing hands.
Field, Patriots are a 17-point favorite over the over the Jets. Should the Patriots be like a 57-point favorite over the Jets? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a line that actually makes a lot of sense. The Jets are basically playing for pride and draft positioning right now, but there have been so many things surrounding this team, just negative energy and just sort of surprising to see the way that some of these players have finished out the season for the Jets. You know, Sheldon Richardson has struggled and or not played as well this year, and then he has the Snapchat video with, you know, inflammatory language. Yep. And then you've got the quarterback injury with Bryce Petty, although he will start on Saturday. So, you know, in these situations, I think it's important that teams play it out. You only get 16 shots at it each season if you're an NFL player, and it can really be a springboard into 2017 if you finish off 2016 and strong.
Interesting you mentioned pride and draft position at the same time, because have pride, but not so much that you affect your draft positions.
I just wish every team would play for no matter what for a win. You know, it shouldn't be that hard to be motivated.
Right.
I guess that's how it goes sometimes.
Here's one for you. Do you think Belichick would throw the last game of the season to get the Dolphins into the playoffs and maybe keep Baltimore and or Denver out?
Interesting question. I don't know, guys. It's an interesting question. I don't even, to be honest with you, and I haven't done a scenario all in my mind, but I don't know that Baltimore can actually make the playoffs as a wild card team. So it may not be that they would have to choose between Baltimore and Miami making the playoffs. But I understand the question all the same. Would the Patriots sort of can the 17th week of the season because it would impact someone from getting in? You know, I think this year will be a lot different than last year. I think that the Patriots will play all the way through to week 17 unless they clinch first round. Unless they clinch a home field advantage throughout the playoffs this upcoming week. I think the Patriots, though, will continue to be all in, because last year they did not go all in at the end of the season. And I think a lot of people felt like one of the small differences between the Patriots and the Broncos last year was the fact that the game was being played in Denver.
Yep, and they lost that game to the Dolphins at the end of the year. What's the holiday traditions in the Yates household? Anything good or what?
My mom makes cinnamon rolls that are to die for. She's cinnamon rolls and bacon on Christmas morning.
Ooh.
And then football.
Oh, yep. I love it. Hey, Phil, look, you have a great Christmas. We love having you on our highlight of the week, and we just wanted to let you know we enjoy you and just have a great time out there, okay?
Wow. There you go. Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys. Right back to you.
Take care, Phil. Phil Yates, everybody, our NFL insider. And it's all brought to you by Wendell's Furniture and